I know Christian is here today, so she must have stepped out for a minute. So welcome you all to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church today on this very bright and beautiful sunny day. I'll tell you what, oh, here comes Kristen.
Thank you.
I was going to go out of order here, but I'll wait for Kristen now.
Sorry.
No problem.
I got caught up talking to people, and that's what happens. But I am so happy to see all of you here today on this bright and sunny day. I have just a few announcements for you. One, I am going to be in Harrisburg on Tuesday and Wednesday this week for a day of prayer and action against gun violence. So there will be no Bible study this week unless somebody else would like to lead it. Hint, hint. But also maybe set aside some bail money. I also want to let you know that there is a prayer service for Bread for the World, prayer service on the 19th of November at Warren United Methodist Church at 2 p.m. And this prayer service is to help gain interest about the renewal of the Farm Bill. And this is an important bill that funds access to food through like programs like SNAP and WIC, farm subsidies, and a lot of other things that can help people who are suffering from hunger throughout the world, but mostly in the United States. And there will be an offering of and blessing of letters to our representatives. There will also be Thanksgiving Eve worship here on Wednesday, November 22nd at 7:30 p.m. They just told me, we initially said it was 7, but it's 7:30 p.m. We had a long discussion about it on Wednesday. We will still need cookies, baked goods for fellowship following the worship service. And you can see BJ for those things. Yeah?
I cannot take any more cookies. The freezer is full.
Oh, no more cookies. The freezer is full.
It's not with that stuff.
Oh. Okay.
Freeze them at home and bring them.
Yes, freeze them at home and bring them later.
I have some room in my freezer at home, but not.
Yeah, no. That's. All right. Kimberly will be more than happy to take your baked goods and put them in her freezer. Yes. Yes. My last announcement for today is I would like to take a moment to recognize our veterans. Yesterday was Veterans Day, and I would like, if all of you who have given service to our country through the military, if you could please stand and be recognized. Thank you so much for all of your service and for everything that you've done for our country. Any other announcements that I'm missing? Okay. Oh, yes, Carol, yes. I did. I moved the Women's Association meeting to next Sunday at 9:30. That also kind of means that there isn't going to be Sunday school because there's nowhere to, well, there's places to put Sunday school, but the people who go to Sunday school also go to the Women's Association meeting. So I think it's important. I think the Women's Association meeting is important. And there will be a deacons meeting after worship today. Is that it? Anything else? All right. One last thing before we get right into worship. The deacons have decided to ramp up, restart Minute for Mission. And so we're trying to make the second Sunday of every month be our Minute for Mission day. And today we have a wonderful, an amazing mission partner here. Tom Baker from the North Hills Community Outreach. He's the executive director there, and he has a few things to share with you.
All right, hi everyone, good morning. How's everyone doing? Good to be here with all of you. A minute,
You can do more.
Oh, that's okay. I go to Berkeley Hills Lutheran. We keep a strict timer on our mission moment, like to 3 minutes though, and then you get like gonged off the out of the podium with our pastors. But thank you all for having me here today. Thanks to Pastor Kristen for her support of our organization and all that we do at NHCO. I will say I am here today with you all. I'm leaving from this lovely get together, the service, to go to the Steelers game. I will be with you on Thanksgiving Eve. That night I'm leaving from that service to go to the Penguins game. So I guess I'm going to come here every day because I'm going to assume that I'm always going to a Pittsburgh sporting event after being at Glenshaw Valley. That should be fun. But I agree with you with the 7:30 start time. It is a little bit trickier. Well, thank you for having me. How many of you have heard of North Hills Community Outreach before today? All right, very good. Okay, so, and how many of you have volunteered in some way over time? Okay, very good. All right, well, thank you. Thank you for volunteering. I started as a volunteer as well back in 2008 and got to serve on our board for 6 years. And for the last 3+ have been our executive director. We are a mission helping people here in our community. We cover 40 zip codes and 50 communities across northern Allegheny County. We do have a staff of 28, but we have 1,000 volunteers that really make what we do possible as an organization. I don't know that there's any organization, and I'm a little biased, that has more of an impact here in our local community. Many of the topics that Pastor Kristen mentioned, including food insecurity, certainly is what we try to tackle as an organization, as we're helping those that are going through hardship, poverty, and crisis, and while also hoping that no one is hungry, cold, or alone here in our community. Food pantries. We've got 7 a month, 3 at our Allison Park office, 3 are at our North Burroughs office in Avalon, once a month in Millvale, and then for the last 3 years, we've had a mobile food pantry that goes to communities where we could or should be doing more, called NHCO On the Go, which has been really helpful and really good. We often think also of food as a conduit to a conversation that then can lead our clients to the other 19 programs and services of NHCO. We really are almost like a little chamber of commerce as it relates to all the ways that people can receive help. We do seasonal sharing projects. Pastor Kristen mentioned SNAP benefits, right? So within that, we do collections throughout the year, personal care items in the spring. We also do spring cleaning as well, too, which is good. So we collect those in the spring. We utilize them, get them out at Food Pantry all year long. We do back to school in a big way with close to 1,000 kids getting their backpacks and all of their supplies for schools. We just finished up our third straight Saturday of getting warm coats on everybody, all the kids here locally. About 800 kids got their coats through NHCO. Thanksgiving on every table is going on right now. So when we're with you that day for the service here that night, we'll have delivered a couple hundred meals earlier in the day, hot meals prepared by Beatty students here locally, and getting them out to folks. And then for Thanksgiving itself, we help people with $25 gift cards for turkey or turkey substitute and everything else that you can need for your holiday meals. For Christmas, we do holiday toy shop where almost a thousand kids get all of their Christmas toys through NHCO, which is very cool as well. And again, the food pantries and the sharing projects are just part of what we do, but we couldn't do it without the community. We couldn't do it without great partners like Glenshaw Valley. I tell her behind her back that I think Pastor Kristen's in a 3-way tie for funniest pastor in our ministerium. Like, she is a character, right? But then there's Pastor Emily and then Pastor Ted Martin. I mean, it's a trio. But I will say this in all all honesty, like, we're honored to be part of the ministerium here and get to spend time with Pastor Kristen. One of the most intimidating moments of my 2023, though, was, and I'll close with this, I promise. So it's the end of the ministerium last month, and you've got the three pastors there, all of their, you know, Pastor Dirk, you got everyone, and at the end they're like, Tom, can you lead the prayer? And I was like, but this is what you're all, this is like, you were called to do this. So giving the final prayer at the end of a ministerium with all these incredible leaders and people in the room is very intimidating, but it's lovely to get to serve with you. Thank you all for your past service of NHTO. I'll hand out brochures. If you've got any questions, any ideas, or any ways that you want to help, please always feel free to let me know. Longer than a minute, but I don't think I would have got kicked off the stage in my own church at least, so that's good, but it would have been close. So thank you. Give yourselves a round of applause for helping NHTO. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tom. He's got some brochures. Any that are left over, we'll leave on the back, the sign-up table. If you ever want to volunteer or if there's ever anything else you want to do with North Hills Community Outreach, please let me know. I can help you find who you need to get in touch with. Okay? With that, why don't we place our cell phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings and get ready to worship God with our call to worship. Rejoice and be glad, for God is our salvation. Rejoice and be glad, for God is great. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Make a Joyful Noise to God. Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin that we might find forgiveness and new life in Christ. Holy and gracious God, you are all light and wonder and glory. You are our strength and our delight. You give us all we need to live. Yet we are distracted by all that glitters, continually grasping for more. Rather than trust in your provision, we chase after our own happiness. Forgive us, Lord, and turn us back to you. Overwhelm us with your goodness and cover us with grace. For we know that you are the source of life, the fount of all that is good. In Jesus' name,
we pray.
Amen. Hear the good news. Nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel. We are forgiven. Let us now join together and to profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified,
dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. And you're already seated, but please be seated for our choir's anthem. It's almost like they knew what I was going to be preaching about today. Let us now offer our prayers and intercessions to God, confident that the love of Christ continues to appear in our lives in surprising and unexpected ways. Loving God, we pray for all who seek your radiant light in the darkened corners of our world. May we find our way to you through our love for one another. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. We pray for all who are oppressed by institutions and structures unjustly ordered. Bless us with a joy for justice, that all may share in the blessings of this life, walking in right relationship with you by caring for our neighbor. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. We pray for all who have no work, for those without adequate health care, and for all who hunger or have no shelter. Bless us with meaningful work and ample provision as we love and care for each other under the protection of your sheltering sky. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. We pray for all who suffer on dangerous violence on dangerous streets and in war-torn places. Keep them from harm's way. Bless us with your vision of peace, that all may flourish as one family under God, with justice and freedom for all. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Finally, we lift up the prayers of this congregation. Suzanne asks for a good outcome with a carotid artery block surgery on November 30th. Cliff asks, I do too, for prayers for Jimmy Gable, our custodian, who's recovering from back surgery last Monday. Cliff also asked for prayers for Eduardo Miranda, a co-worker and a close friend who's recovering from brain surgery to remove a tumor from last Wednesday, and Robert Brown, his brother-in-law, who fell off a ladder yesterday and was seriously injured. He is having surgery today and may need to have his elbow joint replaced, which sounds painful. Kathy Enrieto also raises up a praise for all of the prayers, calls, cards, emails, texts. You all mean the world to her. Thank you and love you. God, we ask that you wrap your healing and comforting arms around all who are hurting and grieving. All these things we ask alongside the Holy Spirit in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers. Please be seated. God is a gracious giver who opens the door to all who seek the wisdom of God's ways. Therefore, let us offer the gifts of our life and labor and come into God's courts with praise. Gracious God, receive our gifts, tokens of thanks for your extravagant blessings, signs of trust in your coming reign of justice, peace, and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. This may sound familiar from the songs we've sung today. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 young women took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those young women got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will be not enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some more for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and then the door was shut. Later the young women came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is the reading of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Oh God, send your spirit to move in our world and stir the water of our souls, that we may desire a word of instruction that awakens us to the joy of your coming reign. Amen. I swear that the happenings at the beginning of the service were not intentional, but I am constantly running late. It's usually only like 5 or 10 minutes, but you can pretty much count on me not being on time for like anything. It's a bit of a joke when I'm scheduled to meet with friends and I text them, My text usually reads, "In what will come as a surprise to no one, I am running behind. Be there soon." And the main reason that I'm perpetually late is that I am a procrastinator. In school, I would have every intention of starting a paper well before the due date, but I would inevitably be writing, tapping away up until 11:59 when the paper was due at midnight. Also, I have every intention of having my sermons written by Thursday night. And yet, I was still up typing away at, it was after midnight. The other reason that I am often running late is because I have a touch of time blindness. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Sometimes I can't tell if 20 minutes have passed or 3 hours. I don't know if this sermon is 2 minutes or 50. I don't know. it's really difficult for me to estimate how long something is going to take. And maybe none of you can relate to being late, and I'm sure that my lateness constantly causes you anxiety. But I'm certain, I know for a fact, that the majority of you know what it's like to be in a hurry, to be impatient in the face of a delay, to being placed on hold when you're on the telephone, when you're sitting in the waiting room, 30-mile-per-hour construction zones along Route 8. Anyone for the last year? And we live in a really fast-paced world. We value fast communication. We value fast travel, getting somewhere quickly, fast food. Even at a sit-down restaurant, we want our food to come pretty quickly. We want fast money. We want our deliveries to come the next day, if not the same day. We've become so preoccupied by speed that there's been a slowness revolution that has occurred. It's a movement, and it's a movement that says yin's better slow down. The early church was in a hurry. They had expected Jesus' return decades earlier, and when it didn't happen, some were disappointed, and others were certain that it could still happen at any moment. It's right on the cusp of happening. And you know what? They had to adjust their expectations. They had to wait. They had to live in faith with courage and hope. And so do we. And that's what our gospel lesson is teaching us today. There are conflicting accounts. I couldn't find an actual standard description of what a wedding in first century Palestine looked like. But the one similarity that I found over and over was that a group of bridesmaids, some say that they were related to the bride, some say that they were related to the groom. This group of bridesmaids would escort the groom into the celebration. And this was a celebration that lasted several days, so that very first part of entering the celebration was important. And the bridesmaids in this parable were waiting for the groom to arrive. The party hadn't started yet. But the groom is taking his sweet time. It's dark. The bridesmaids were prepared enough to know that it was going to be dark, so they had lamps with them. And they light their lamps, and they wait, and wait, and wait, and they wait so long that they all fell asleep with the lights on. The groom is finally spotted. Way, you know, he's on the way, he's down the road, and the young women, they jump up and they go to meet him. But five of the maidens realize that they've run out of oil for their lamps. They didn't anticipate the possibility of the groom being so late, so they didn't bring any reserves. They're unprepared. But the other bridesmaids, they have extra. Maybe they'll share? Unfortunately, no. There isn't enough oil to fill everyone's lamp. All 10 lamps would run out well before the time needed, and everyone would be left in the dark. So the wise bridesmaids make the, I don't know, I think it's a rather unhelpful suggestion that the maidens go to the market and get more oil. And I know, like, we have some 24-hour markets here today. I don't know how many markets were open at midnight back then. I would guess few, if any. But by the time the foolish bridesmaids come back, the banquet has already started. The doors are closed. They're denied entry. It might be helpful to break down some of the symbolism here. My mom hates symbolism. She doesn't understand why people can't just talk and write in just plain English and say what they mean. But the Bible is full of it. There is so much symbolism in the Bible. And because this is a parable, definitely going to have some symbolism here. The wedding banquet and the bridegroom, those have been used over and over again throughout the Bible to represent the kingdom of God and Jesus. In the Old Testament, the bridesmaids or the bridegroom was Israel, and in the New Testament, the bridegroom is Jesus. And the bridesmaids characterize the church as a whole and all of its people, all of its members. So there are no outwardly distinguishable characteristics of the bridesmaids. They're all dressed for the wedding. They all carry lamps to light the way. They all say, "Lord, Lord." And they all fall asleep while they're waiting. The only reason that we know that half of them were foolish is because we are explicitly told that they're foolish. It's not the looks, the lamp, the long dresses. It's none of those things that can set aside the wise from the foolish. It's their readiness. And we can say that about the church as well. We can't tell from outward appearances who will make it to the wedding banquet and who will not. The oil for the lamps. Oil literally produces light. And it represents the deeds of love and mercy, obeying the greatest commandments, loving God and loving your neighbor. When we are responsible, faithful, responsive disciples, we too spread Christ's light. So the wise maidens, they were prepared for a delay. They heard Jesus' teachings and they acted on them. Their lamps were lit with good works that glorify God, and they brought an extra supply of discipleship. The foolish maidens, however, were caught short. They see the groom coming and they rush around and they're trying to cram everything in at the last minute. But it's just too little, too late. We don't know when. None of us here knows when. But Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, will return in glory to usher in the fullness of God's reign. Matthew's community expected Jesus at any moment. But we're now entering the third millennium of waiting. And yeah, we should certainly be taking the time to be prepared, but we shouldn't be rushing around in a panic. We aren't meant to live in a constant state of alertness. We don't need to keep up with all of the news of all of the places throughout the world and try to find correlations with the book of Revelation. All sorts of people have been trying to predict when Jesus will come again, but spoiler alert, they've all been wrong. Matthew thinks that these prognosticators, they're focusing on all of the wrong things. We don't have to be preoccupied by the timing of the second coming if we're already living faithful lives in preparation. Instead of being kept awake by panicky, last-minute anxiety, yins can slow down. And I know that's really hard to do. We live in this fast-paced world that tells us if we're not constantly doing something, we're going to fall behind. However, being prepared for Christ's return means being faithful to his teachings. And being faithful to Jesus' teachings is really hard to do if we don't take the time to slow down, to read or listen to the gospel, if we don't take the time to pray and to worship, to serve and tend to those entrusted to our care. We can't love our neighbors if we don't take the time to truly listen to them and to their needs. In addition to time, these are all things that demand patience. Ugh, don't ever pray for patience for me, please, because patience takes practice. Patience is something that you cultivate day in and day out. Patience says, yins better slow down. We don't know when the bridegroom is coming. All we can do is be prepared. And we prepare by keeping the extra oil in our lamps, by faithfully putting Jesus' teachings into action every day, by gathering with others who are waiting. And with each passing day, we become more prepared to wait. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn. My hope is built on nothing less. Verses 1, 2, and 4. Before we go back out into the world, let me offer a charge and a blessing. Keep awake, for Christ is coming to gather us to his welcome table where we will feast in joy. May the grace of Christ surround you, the love of God uphold you, and the Holy Spirit spark you with unquenchable fire as you wait and work for the kingdom to come. Amen.
Just put it out with your fingers.